On this episode, we explore our feminine side with the romantic comedy, 27 Dresses. Hey everyone, welcome to Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin, but look who's back!
Yeah.
Hey, it's me, I'm back.
I'm glad you identified yourself, Stuart, because I thought that we were doing the show with Josh Brolin tonight.
Why would that be, Dan?
Maybe it's because of the awesome mustache that you grew.
Oh, right.
In the 2 weeks since we saw you.
So, Josh Brolin, not like Sam Elliott?
No, it's more of a Josh Brolin.
Yeah, Josh
mustache,
Brolin.
But not... What if?
I'll go as far as Charles Bronson.
Yeah,
but not Sam Elliott.
No.
Don't, okay. What do I need to do to be more Sam Elliott?
It's not bushy enough. It's a little dark.
Okay.
It needs to. It also ends basically at your upper lip,
okay.
And a Sam Elliott must
go down,
mouth. Go down further.
Yeah, almost
okay.
Over your whole mouth.
Okay. How does he eat? Does he not eat?
Sloppily.
Yeah.
I like to think that he gave up eating.
I like to think that he eats and then he has a little bowl of water and that's his mustache bath and he dips his mustache in it to get the crumbs
out. It's like a finger bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
it's
audience,
called a mustachier or something.
I know that this is an audio podcast.
This is highly unorthodox.
However, we will post a picture of Stuart's mustache on the blog, which is theflophousepodcast.blogspot.com. And why don't you...
Wait a minute. I didn't agree to that. That was my mustache talking, by the way. That was me.
Your mustache has to sign a waiver.
And I would ask you, the listeners, to write in, maybe, and say which celebrity you think Stuart looks like with his mustache.
And if you say John Goodman with a mustache, I may give you a high five.
Yeah. And that's theflophousepodcast@gmail.com.
We really should be vlogging this.
Yeah. Mustaches aside... maybe we're talking about
mustaches.
Speaking
of mustaches.
No, it doesn't work at all.
Here's a movie with none of them.
Yeah, well, I was going to say.
There aren't any.
This
is
a
clean-shaven
this
world.
This is about as far away as a mustache as you can get. Because it is a, let's be indelicate, let's say chick flick. We watched a chick flick.
A rom-com?
Yeah.
I was going to say a feminine hygiene film.
Yeah.
Well, in what sense?
It's not an industrial film. We didn't wheel in a Super 8 projector.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, we felt
that
we just
watched it on a normal TV, Dan. It was a DVD.
thanks for clarifying that.
It's cool. Don't worry about it.
We felt that as three guys, and as three guys who...
Real men's men, right?
Yeah, rugged types, men. Macho, tough. Machismo. A lot of machismo in the room right now.
I was going to go with sort of nerdy guys, but sure.
I own a Leatherman knife set. I don't know.
I have a mustache. I think we covered that already.
That's true. Maybe just me.
I do have a special kind of kick that has a name for fights. So tell you guys.
What's
it's
the
a
name?
Straight-legged kick right up into the crotch of the other person. It's called a Liberator.
All right.
I actually named it that in a dream. I had a dream where me and a friend of mine, my friend Brendan, were in a fight with two guys, and I said, and we like paired off. You take that guy, I'll take this one.
Sure.
And I go, how about a taste of the Liberator? And like in Trainspotting, the way that Robert Carlyle
are you
does.
Liberating his nuts from him?
I don't know.
Do you shout Excelsior
no,
when you do it?
I shout something about Liberator. But that's but it was – I woke up almost immediately after that and I said, that is the purest thing I've ever thought of because it came to me in a dream.
Well, awesome
like
dream
Stephen
aside
–
mm-hmm. I wanted to say
it's like
that.
Salvador Dali, yeah.
As three real men's men, we usually watch the manly genres.
Yeah, stuff with blood in it.
Your thrillers, your horror films, your thriller horror films, mm-hmm. Your sci-fi thrillers.
Yeah, like Next.
Yeah, but this time...
or the Half an Inch.
We decided... This time we decided to cast a wider net and watch what you ladies watch, or so Lifetime has led me to believe,
mm-hmm.
And that is 27 Dresses.
Starring Catherine Heigl.
That's how you pronounce that?
I just pronounced hard G's as Catherine Heigl.
Okay.
I'm tired. I don't know.
Cyclops was in this too, right?
Yeah, and that was what made it a little easier for me to watch, because every time it got to a scene with James Marsden, I just imagined that like at any moment Professor X was going to call him away to go on a mission.
Yeah, yeah. He was wearing like contacts or something, so his eye beam.
Ruby quartz contacts.
It all,
it's just like there was a I was reading something a long time ago when
X-Men comics. That's what you were reading.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's something Uncanny when X-Men, I think. When, what was the movie with Hugh Jackman and Ashley Judd that was based on the novel Animal Husbandry?
I think you're thinking of X-Men.
No, but that was
that the one where he goes back in time or forward?
No,
time?
That was Kate and Leopold with Meg Ryan. Okay. This was it was where someone had written up a thing. No, The Prestige is with, No, it wasn't Van Helsing. Someone had written up a thing on the internet where it was where the
X-Men
idea was
2?
Logan was playing this character, and right. He was saying I was having trouble because I kept thinking, "Pop your claws, Logan. That'll impress her."
Yeah,
I don't remember whose blog sure. I read that on though.
Sounds like a funny blog.
Yeah.
Man. But so you're saying that you
was
imagined
that, on your
that
stand
it was
or
Cyclops? No, but let's pretend.
Okay, but I kept imagining that he was playing the role. He was playing Scott right. Slim Summers, Cyclops.
Sure. And Flophouse favorite, charisma suck Edward Burns was also in this film.
The graveliest voice of his generation.
Yeah, and not
so
much else.
Interesting.
I want to do it something with him and Harvey Fierstein called Meet the Gravels.
Nice.
And yeah, he was very boring. And also, what's her name?
Judy Greer.
Sure.
Very
Pam
funny
Greer's
actress.
Daughter.
No. Wrong again. Kitty from Arrested Development.
Yeah, and the romantic interest in the Hebrew Hammer.
Yeah, and Melora Hardin,
was
Jan
in three
Levinson
scenes.
Gould from The Office is awesome.
And who played Katherine Heigl's sister?
Yeah.
Malene Ackerman, who was in the bad... Goodbye Girl remake, the Peter and Bobby Farrelly remake, and
of the Goodbye Girl. Goodbye Girl's with
oh, not Goodbye Girl.
Richard Dreyfuss, isn't it?
No, what am I thinking of?
Edit this out.
Oh, man.
I know it.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Hold on. Oh, no, it's close. Oh, Sorrow in the Pity.
No.
M.
No. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sallow.
Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Maybe it was The Goodbye Girl.
No, you're right. That's the Neil Simon play.
But it's the one with Ben Stiller you're talking about.
Yeah, what was
the
that?
Heartbreak Kid. That's the remake of The
Ouch.
Heartbreak Kid.
Remake of The Heartbreak Kid.
Oh, okay. Ouch. Now I know who you're
and,
talking about.
And, yeah.
Along Came Polly.
Ooh, just broke my heart. No, that was, wasn't that Jennifer Aniston?
It was. There's a ferret in that movie.
Okay. There's a ferret in Kindergarten Cop, too. I don't know how you brought that one up.
I don't like you calling Philip Seymour Hoffman a ferret.
No!
Boop!
Synecdoche, New York. Theater near you.
So, to talk about this movie, it's a movie about a woman who was so besotted with weddings.
She loves weddings.
That she cannot turn down the opportunity or the obligation to be in one. So she has 27 bridesmaids' dresses.
And here's where I thought the movie should have been called Wedaholic.
Yeah.
And I said this.
Yeah, I mean, going into this movie, I don't know about you guys, but like movie trailers and like TV is letting me to
whenever
believe...
you say, this is what I miss. Whenever you say, I don't know about you guys, and then you say the craziest thing in the world.
I don't know about you guys, but some I can't think of
anyway.
You're
saying
crazy. TV and like movie trailers and stuff have really led me to believe that women are fucking apeshit about getting married.
Huh?
Like
yeah.
Like when
they become, you might even call them bridezillas.
Yeah, that's. I think that's a term, like that's a phrase, right?
No, I made it up just
now. Okay, that's pretty clever.
Yeah, I'm that good.
So
in Japan they say bridejiras.
Okay, and they run screaming.
Yeah,
yeah,
from kimono clad crazy brides.
Here's one of the
before Godzilla was made in America, they called them bride Kongs.
Yeah, here's something real brief. She has 27 dresses, and they're supposed to be. Because bridesmaid dresses are ugly, so they're supposed to be really ugly, stupid dresses.
Terrible.
And one of them is a kimono, and then they show a brief, like, 30-second flashback of her at this wedding, and everyone else in the wedding is an Asian woman,
uh-huh.
And it's like, well, you can't really say the kimono is a crazy bridesmaid dress if it's a Japanese wedding.
Well,
like,
dude, if
other
you,
cultures are crazy.
Yeah, but if one of us was Japanese, we would see this and be like, "Oh my god, that kimono's hideous."
Oh yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe it was a very ugly kimono to the discerning eye.
Basically.
Yeah,
and I gotta say, here's my problem. It's starting off. On
I was gonna
a
make a Scarlett
level.
Johansson's butt joke for Lost in Translation, but it's not worth it.
Top panty shot. Apparently, it just beat out Howard the Duck.
We're really showing
if somebody
our,
ever told me
really
that
showing
was
our sensitive
butt,
side on this,
really mad.
On this women's episode of the Flophouse.
Listen, whatever. Anyway,
the
you're saying
the panty shot in Howard the Duck's awesome.
Sure, I don't. All I remember about that movie is when Leah Thompson pulls the duck condom out of Howard's wallet, and she's like, "Oh, Howard." Like, oh, you rascal duck!
I just
it's
always
wrapped,
having
right?
sex
it's,
sex with
It's not even other ducks. It's like out, right? It's loose or something?
Yeah, a loose condom.
Well, that's kind of weird. They can reuse them in the Duckverse.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did you read that in a book?
I made it up. I remember my favorite part of that movie, which is when they're in the diner and the possessed Jeffrey Jones scientist is talking about the end of the world and the Dark Ones, and it just cuts to Howard and Leah Thompson going, "Ah, yeah. Like, yeah, there he goes again with the dark gods." It was like a very funny moment to me because they've never heard this before, but they're acting as if they hear it all the time.
By the way, for people who have never seen Howard the Duck or haven't seen it in years, Tim Robbins is in that movie, everyone.
Yeah, he is.
Note
for you.
Yeah.
But
I like him. He was good in Mystic River.
Yeah.
I walked by him recently.
He's better when he's tall. Playing a dumb guy.
He is
guy,
very
though.
Tall.
But anyway, back to the movie.
Arlington Road with Tim Robbins.
Shawshank Redemption. Amazing movie.
Even
top
like
10.
A title level, like 27 Dresses, bothers me a little bit. I mean, 27, like, all right.
I know, I like titles with numbers in them.
Yeah. No, that's fine, but I'm saying, like, I'm a well-liked guy.
8mm.
Relative.
Ooh.
Okay.
8mm. Okay, well, that's a bad movie with a number in the title.
I have been a best man precisely once in my life.
Okay.
And then for my brothers, I have two brothers. And I think I was a groomsman in one of them, and I think in the other I was just an usher.
Wow.
So
ooh.
For a woman to be a bridesmaid 27 times.
She's sure. Not always the head bridesmaid. It's also that.
No, she's not
mind,
the maid of honor.
She's,
but, yeah, but she's still in 27.
But she
weddings.
Also goes
yeah.
out of her way to help the brides organize their weddings.
But I don't know. I don't even know
she's
like 27
that
people
position.
Well enough to who would invite me to their weddings.
No, but you're not a woman. They
yeah.
make a lot of friends. They live in elaborate networks
I mean,
of female
companionship. I think you're making a good point. Like, nothing about this character and the rest of the movie would lead me to believe that she actually makes friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Plus, why can't it just be, like, 13 dresses? Like, that's still an absurd number, but a believably absurd one. And you got the whole unlucky 13 thing.
That's pretty
going
good,
on.
I guess. 27 rolls yeah. off the tongue, though.
Yeah.
27. Think
but
about
it,
that.
But
it is a hilarious
crazy.
Number.
It's impossibly
It's the
high.
Funniest number. It's been scientifically proven.
But,
mathematically proven.
But, it's like
but,
the name Chuck.
James Brolin does bring up a good point, which is that you never get the feeling from Katherine Heigl.
Brolin. Wow. He's aged a lot.
God. I look like an old bulldog.
What was it like being married to Barbara Streisand?
Maverick
yeah.
is awesome.
They say Josh Brolin. Whatever, they're all Brolins.
Sure, no, that's cool.
Anyway, Charles Bronson over there was saying, was that Katherine Heigl's character, Jane, is she has these friends that she's bridesmaids with, but you never see them outside of those wedding scenes. And her character has no social life and no life whatsoever. Like,
and she's not very nice.
And she's not very nice. She's an unsympathetic character in almost every way.
Well, let me very quickly.
Till she starts drinking, like every girl. Once she gets a couple drinks in her, she's way more fun.
Let me very quickly sum up the basic
premise.
We'll
talk about that later, though.
Just rattle it off quick.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do the plot
Katherine Heigl. Works for Edward Byrne. She's totally in love with him, but
she has a big crush.
Never said anything. She's always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
No.
Her sister, Marlene Ackerman, comes into town, and immediately, of course, Edward Byrne falls for her.
Of course.
And they're romancing each other. They're going to get married. Meanwhile, there's James Marsden, who sees Katherine Heigl at this wedding.
Who writes the wedding
yeah.
pages for the New York Journal.
And the New York, the famous New York newspaper, the New York Journal.
Which uses the same fonts and design layout as the New York Times.
Yeah,
and
I'd think that the Times would sue them for that.
And it's a liberal newspaper,
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it was in the
I
tank for Obama.
I gather that from the information they explained from the commitment section.
It was in the tank for Obama and weddings.
But the point is, he writes the commitment section. And,
which is all about weddings.
And he gets, you know, he's got
but
a real...
He hates weddings.
He hates weddings, but he has to go to all of them,
yeah.
and he notices Katherine Heigl being at two weddings in the same
right.
day.
He's got a real nose for news, Elliot.
Yes, he does. Wait, he's like McGruff the news dog.
Was his family killed at a wedding or something? What's
no,
his story, he
explains as they're registering for gifts for another wedding. He got married and then his wife left him, or his wife left him at the wedding. It's not really explained that clearly.
Oh, right. That was the scene where Katherine Heigl's character won the legendary double bingo.
Yes. No, no.
Guessing it, right?
Yeah, that was she won double bingo and they registered for a gold pig statue.
Katherine Heigl does not know that he's just doing a feature story on her. This is the crazy...
He wants to do a feature tell-all on how corrupt right. the wedding industry is.
No, it's a human interest story about this woman.
But his whole point is to show that the wedding industry is destroying lives.
I see. But the point is, she doesn't know that she's just a story to him. all the while he's falling for her.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said,
you can tell that he's going to fall for her because he's the only other male character in the movie who's not her dad.
Yeah. And we were talking about this, Elliot. We were talking about how like this would seem ridiculously contrived in a movie made today, such as 27 Dresses.
Yeah.
But if this was the plot of a classic 1930s screwball comedy, we'd be like, oh, this is great. This is look like, at the plotting and the
if Preston Sturges had written and directed it, and Katherine Heigl was played by Jean Arthur, and her sister was played by Claudette Colbert, and Ed Burns was played by Ray Milland, and James
Marsden. I think
her sister
would be Judy Holliday, probably.
Okay, I'll give you that. And she was a little bit later. But and James Marsden was played by like Eddie Bracken. Then and this was like made in the late 30s or in like 1941. Then you'd be like, oh, it's brilliant the way that the concepts. Oh, of course he hates weddings, but he writes for them and she loves weddings. Like it would be so much easier to take because it would be in this cartoonish 30s world as opposed to.
Well, also there would be clever
post 9/11 world of today.
So wait,
there would
be
clever
like,
banter and jokes.
Oh, also it would be a funny, well written movie with likable characters.
Like Who Framed Roger Rabbit or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I can put that into context.
There you go. Yeah, be like who?
That sounds great.
So you're saying there'd be cartoons that interact
with
them?
That sounds awesome. Wait, with like modern technology, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
But completely. Oh, but anyway, they blah 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 blah, and Ed Burns proposes to Katherine Heigl's sister. Katherine Heigl gets mad. The newspaper article runs the day after she sleeps with James Marsden after a drunken sing-along to Benny and the Jets. She gets mad at him, and everything's set on a roller coaster ride to people ending up together. And like any Shakespeare play or Greek play, it ends in a wedding.
Yeah.
Except for many of the Shakespeare plays and Greek plays.
Yeah.
That don't end in weddings.
Except stuff by Sophocles. That's all.
Yeah, his stuff is always pretty
Sophocles
grim.
Hated weddings.
But you know,
like
but
James Marsden.
It's more like an Aristophanes play, except again, poorly written.
Nice. But,
well, but even then, there were a couple moments of there were a couple genuine jokes in it, but mostly it was not. There was a lack of jokes. Mm-hmm. Like there were not a lot of gags in this
they
comedy.
Had more boner jokes than Aristophanes play, though, if I recall.
Aristophanes
in the Aristophanes
had a lot
play,
of boner jokes.
Yeah, there's more boner jokes in 27 Dresses.
No. Like, have you ever read Lysistrata?
Oh, wait, you're right.
The whole thing's boner jokes.
It was all flipped around.
Yeah,
it was on the brain.
Lysistrata is Greek for boner jokes. That's what it means.
The Lysistrata is ancient Greek for losing it. And it's about a couple of young Greek teenagers on Springus Breakus who, you know, I guess that's more Latin, but
that is Latin.
The Springopolis Breakopolis. That's
you,
what it is.
You remember your Latin magnificently.
Here's the secret to Latin.
You're
but
really
us,
transporting me
or,
to that time.
But, oh, and Shelley Long's in it.
The main problem with this movie. There are a lot of problems with this movie, but the main problem is that Katherine Heigl, I feel, is a completely unlikable protagonist.
Yes.
She's trapped in a prison of her own making. She keeps going to these weddings.
Now are you blaming Katherine Heigl, the actress, or Katherine Heigl's character?
A little bit of both, because her character...
It is a problem of writing, directing, and acting.
Yeah, her character complains about, you know, being always the bridesmaid, but she also is a complete doormat. And also she complains about her sister going for this guy. But she never makes it clear to her sister that she likes this guy.
All she has to do is say, I've had a crush on him for years,
right.
And what you're doing is hurting me. Yeah. Please
And then she allows the sister to stay in her apartment for
Tell
months on
it.
End.
Which is awkward because I have to imagine she and Ed Burns were having incredibly loud sex on the couch.
Yeah,
absolutely.
In the living room.
That's where I would do it if I was the head of Urban Everest, a popular outdoors
Let's not go back to my apartment. Let's go to my assistant's apartment, which is also your sister, and do it on her couch.
Mainly because I've always thought about doing somebody on this girl's couch.
Yeah, let's back up a moment. Eddie Burns, he's the...
Burns, because you suddenly became a 70-year-old man from Hollywood. Eddie Burns!
Back in the day, Eddie Burns was known for having the graveliest voice around. No personality, but a hell of a gravelly voice.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's the CEO, I guess, of Urban Everest.
I assumed he was the founder owner.
Yeah.
Who I guess is, you know,
no,
it's
I think he
to
might just
suggest...
be the CFO. I couldn't tell, though.
It's a good point.
He's maybe he's just the top designer.
Urban
he's,
Everest is some kind of what like
it's like an Urban Outfitters store we're led to believe.
He's because like, he says once he likes the outdoors.
Yeah.
But he's like a real like a green guy, I guess.
He's an eco nut.
Yeah, a conut.
Yeah,
he's one of the planeteers.
Yeah. Wait, are those the people who make Captain Planet with those rings?
He's an earth elemental.
They all those kids. I guess they recombine.
Let's not
Captain
talk about
Planet.
That.
Yes. Well, the kids don't turn into Captain Planet. They just bring him out of their rings.
Oh.
He's not,
I always wondered
not
about
the fucking,
one ring.
They're not the fucking forever people, Dan. They don't form into one superhero.
Jeez, I'm sorry.
God damn it.
I never understood that one kid's, the Brazilian kid's ring, the one that...
That's
the heart. Yeah,
that he can talk to animals, and he's Brazilian, so he's got that Latin passion, so he can seduce women.
Fiery.
Yeah, that was the thing. They had the four elements, and then they're like, and heart.
Yeah.
I guess it's a precursor to the fifth element, where the fifth element was love.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think Luc Besson probably kind of cribbed that from Captain Planet.
Stole from Captain Planet.
Brilliant! Oh, magnifique. I'll put it in my movie.
Yep, he'll put a dash of Chris Tucker.
In my brilliantly designed, poorly plotted movie.
Wow, Luc Besson is so comically French.
Yeah, he also wears a black and white striped shirt and a beret.
And
carries
a red scarf,
carries a baguette everywhere. A
bottle of wine.
We have a lot to say about 27 Dresses. Huh?
Obviously. Well, it was 27 Dresses was what we were kind of afraid it would be, I feel like a bland movie. Like, it was very professionally made, but very uninspired.
Right.
And, you know, the story structure was kind of there, but it was very loose and lackadaisical.
Not even a lot of, like, chemistry between any of the characters. At least, like, let's take a great rom-com example, like Fool's Gold, where you have the chemistry between powerhouses McConaughey and Hudson. This movie just doesn't compare.
I will say, though, James Marsden, who in the X-Men movies is cardboard, in this I thought was very likable.
Didn't he get turned into particles in
the last one?
Yeah,
in the third one he got killed.
That was really weird.
I saw him
they got rid of him. There's nothing they could do with him.
I saw him in the movie version of Hairspray the musical based on the original Hairspray movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I also saw him in Enchanted. And he was actually really good in both of those movies. And I think that he has a talent for being in airy comedies that he cannot bring to being Cyclops.
I think they thought that they were hiring Josh Hartnett when they hired him to play Cyclops. But maybe he's kind of like Brad Pitt maybe then, like that, where he's better at doing sillier roles almost. Yeah, but because he's a handsome guy, it's like, you're going to be our serious lead.
Like James Franco.
Well, that's another problem with this movie.
I guess
is,
so. James Franco's good at being like a stoned out slacker or something like that. But.
Yeah, but he was great in the Spider-Man movies when he got wackier as they went on.
No, I don't really think that was.
Well, it's okay to be wrong sometimes. So what you were saying?
He really blew away that omelet making scene. So
that scene was awesome.
From the start, James Marsden's character is clearly much more likable than Edward Burns, and I feel like at this point in time for one of these movies to work, there has to be at least a little tension where you're like, I don't know which one of these guys I want her to end up with.
Yeah, and that was
but
not.
But it's clear that
I hope she gets the financial security of Edward Burns.
As you pointed out,
that Urban Everest is doing great business.
Also, as you pointed out, Katherine Heigl is at least as good looking, if not better looking, than Melina Akerman, and they make her look like the dowdy one by putting her in a ponytail.
Yeah, and she's got great boobs, man.
Yeah,
I mentioned it like five times.
At least five times.
Oh, yeah, minimum. We'll say five times minimum.
But,
even though we all agreed she has a kind of puffy face.
Did we? Did we all agree?
I don't know if we agreed to it, but I thought I saw like agreement in your eyes. You know, while we were watching the movie.
You could tell I really wanted to agree.
She has a very round face, but not round in like a Christina Ricci way.
Yeah.
Which is very cute, more round and kind of like a... you're pretty enough, I guess.
Yeah,
anyway.
You'll do.
Yeah, exactly. That'll do, pig. That kind of thing, you know?
Sure.
Ouch. Catty. Anyway, but that's, I'm not really a Katherine Heigl type, you know, so.
We'd like to point out, for those who are wondering, there is a montage of the film.
Of her
she
trying
on
the dresses?
Every one of
all
those 27 dresses.
Okay.
That's the money shot of the movie. Like that, you had to have that scene.
I thought
that was how the movie was pitched.
I thought the money shot was the final shot where they show all the women who had weddings that she had to go to and buy these dresses. And she makes these women wear those dresses.
Which I don't understand, because didn't she throw them out?
I would also assume they didn't actually have bridesmaids dress from their own wedding because they were wearing fucking wedding dresses.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't make sense.
But that's money shot number two.
Like the dress,
two money shots.
The dress trying on montage is dollars, and then the ending is cents.
Oh, okay.
Two money shots. a lot of stamina in this movie.
So, Stuart,
yeah, sure.
If you were a lady...
Okay. Give me a second. Okay, good.
Would this give you warm romantic feelings and maybe turn you on just a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty easy, though. I had some drinks.
So what you're saying is you're a really dumb lady.
Wow. Wow. That is an incredible value judgment. Yeah. That is very harsh.
I don't know if I'd say really dumb. I'm easy. That's the thing. Like, I'm not, sure. Like, I don't go see 27 Dresses because I want, like, a fucking, like, romance to last the ages or anything.
No, you just want something you can see with your girlfriends.
This is a movie, yeah. I feel like this is a movie where it's, like, it's raining, you're not in a great mood, you're wearing sweatpants, maybe you're just your pajamas still. Yeah. And
wow.
like you
get... Wow, who's trotting out the female stereotypes now?
I haven't even finished yet. And you take out a pint of Haagen-Dazs. All right.
Yeah,
and, you know, this
maybe
is...
I'm on the rag.
Wow, okay, that was a little much, but... But this
now it's a competition to alienate our female audience.
But it isn't even...
Well, sometimes... okay.
It isn't even like this is even like comfort food or like anything like that. It's just like a, you know, a pass-the-time pleasant movie for a woman to watch.
Yeah, you get out a heating pad and put it on your tummy.
to boil away the baby inside.
Now, I'm not even to blame at this point.
But the same way that I would like... That I would throw on, like, Westworld, I guess, which is not an amazing movie, but...
I just watched that recently. It's really good.
It is really good, but it's like... I guess Westworld isn't the right choice.
It's
but,
like Jurassic Park for people who are cool.
Yeah, maybe like Jurassic Park. Like, it's a lazy day. I'm in my pajamas. I'm eating cereal out of the box.
For me, it's The Running Man.
Like, I just want to watch a movie with dinosaurs in it.
The Running Man is my... If it's on TBS, I'll watch it no matter what rule. Like, I'll have to call in sick to work.
You've gone through a lot of jobs.
Running Man's on.
Good thing that Shawshank Redemption isn't that one, because you would never get to a day of work.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, holy shit, it's being played back to back.
Better go buy another box of Kleenex, because I'm going to be crying a lot.
And another box
the old
of
man,
Haagen-Dazs.
The old man kills himself. He's been so institutionalized.
That's the scene that does it for you. That makes you cry, huh?
Yep.
Because that's like halfway through the movie.
That's the thing. Like, after, I don't even know what happens the rest of the movie. It's a fucking veil of tears.
You assume that's the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's I can't see
very well. It's a sad story about a man who's been failed by the penal system.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it.
But yeah, the same way we would watch like an action movie or something.
Sure, like Running Man.
Yeah, like Running Man or like Commando or like, oh, Commando's on. Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, 27 Dresses is on. I guess I'll sit around and watch it. Like, it's a League of Their Own almost. Sure. Level movie that way.
Yeah.
Like, The League of Their Own was, not, I think, a movie that made no one cry or feel an emotion, but if it's on TV, like,
I would
watch
that
it.
Movie if it was on, but for other reasons. Like, I thought that both Gina
you
Davis
have a, you have
and
a big
Lori
Petty crush.
Cute. I thought she was awfully cute in that movie, and then she disappeared.
She was in that
she
sitcom.
Fell off the world.
She made Tank Girl, and then she was in that sitcom, and then she disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Lori Petty, if you're out there, please send us an email. We just want to know you're okay.
And Tom Petty. Just keep up the good work. You're doing great, a great job on King of the Hill.
Well, good story about 27 Dresses. so, like, yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, none of the female characters, like, her sister isn't that likable either.
Her sister's very unlikable, but she's supposed to be kind of unlikable.
Which is kind of weird, because Edward Burns' character doesn't really have a personality or anything, but you're meant to believe that he's desirable.
Yeah. Well, this is a movie that was written, directed, and stars women, and like none of the characters are any more better, well-rounded, or emotionally realistic than in a different movie. Like, the women are not very likable, the men are not very likable.
The only likable characters are Friend, right, played by the
Judy Greer.
Yeah, you'd expect like
who
a woman,
I would like much better in the lead role.
Yeah, you'd expect like a woman's touch of some sort in the movie to make it more realistic, but instead the woman's touch seemed to be like, these are the kinds of dresses you wear at weddings.
Well, also, this movie, like, the big moment of her standing up for herself is making a speech at, I guess, the rehearsal dinner for the wedding, pointing out that her sister has lied about a bunch of things to this guy. However, the things that she's lied about are things like...
Oh, I love animals.
You know, loving animals or hiking. You know,
I don't eat fatty food anymore, and then she shows her eating like a plate of ribs.
But I want to say one last thing. I mean, that
wait
I don't
a minute,
know.
One last thing.
Yeah, we're not done.
No, I'm just saying about the reveal of the deception.
Oh, the deception.
Right, to me, it felt like
The Happening, where like the big reveal is that Zooey Deschanel went out with a coworker to have dessert. Like, it's the same level of betrayal, I feel like.
Yeah, it was very...
Like, oh, you, well, I guess the wedding's off.
You need to know the... it's like if my girlfriend doesn't like fish. She doesn't eat fish. It's like if we got engaged and then right before we got married...
fish?
I don't like the banned fish. The food, she doesn't eat the banned... She doesn't eat the food fish.
Oh,
like seafood. She doesn't like seafood.
She doesn't eat the banned fish.
Yeah, but if it's like if before the wedding...
We have something else to talk about for this podcast.
Yo!
If before the wedding, her sister... showed a slideshow with pictures of her eating fish and was like, actually, she loves seafood. I wouldn't be like, oh my God, who is this woman? I'd be like, oh, really? Okay, we should have fish at the wedding then.
However, you would break up with her if you saw her rocking out at a fish concert.
Dump her.
Yep, yeah. you'd throw your glass of Cristal in her face.
Yeah, because I'm Jay-Z, so I throw Cristal in her face.
That's at your pre-wedding or rehearsal dinner.
Rehearsal dinner, yeah.
You'll have Cristal there, right?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
And for my rehearsal dinner, we're going to be rehearsing
TV
scenes from Death of a Salesman. So, nice. Oh, by the time I get married, I'm going to be running television.
You'll be the king.
I'll be the king of television. That'll decide who lives and who dies. Gary Unmarried, you're dead.
Oh man, James.
Bones, I'll let you live.
For now. With the guy from Angel.
Numbers are like your moxie. You spelled your name with a number in it. I'll let you stay, too.
It was like my old sketch. It was like the show Letters, with the letters were spelled with a schwa, and he solved crimes with his knowledge of grammar. Like,
that's Ghostwriter, basically. That's the PBS children's series Ghostwriter.
Wait,
group of kids and an alien that can read and write things and travel through computers that helps them solve crimes.
Wait, there's a fucking alien?
Yeah.
I want to watch this shit. Is this anything like that show Early Edition on the PAX network?
No. An Early Edition was a network show.
That shit was awesome, dude.
This one where he gets the newspaper a day ahead of time?
Yeah, how do I sign up for that?
That's a great service.
Really expensive.
Right now I just have the Weekender, but I'd love to have...
The problem being, of course, that like you feel compelled to stop crimes and...
What was the Oliver Platt show where he was a crusading newspaper reporter?
I don't know. Deadline, I think.
Maybe it was Deadline.
Kolchak the Night Stalker?
No, that was a completely different character and actor and premise.
Darren McGavin,
and he was
a father from A Christmas Story.
And he was a private eye fighting monsters.
So the question is, do we actually have anything more to say about 27 Dresses?
It was very mediocre, but I feel good about us getting out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
We could have watched like Saw 4, and instead we watched 27 Dresses.
Yeah, you know, I actually had a good time watching this. I mean, you know, we're not at value judgments or anything.
Well, no, let's do that right now.
But compared I'll save it then.
Let's do the final judgments.
Okay.
About whether this is a good
stern
bad movie,
Taskmaster Dan McCoy,
bad movie, or a movie you kind of liked. Well, I just didn't like. If we're gonna talk about it, we should put it in its own section. That's all I'm saying.
Section, because it's a girl. God.
You know, maybe it's like the weather, but you know, or
you can't stop 27 Dresses.
Or is it the Coors Light I drank while I watched the feature? But
I thought you were saying the movie was like the weather.
No, you know, like I'll give it a good bad movie. I had a good time watching it. It was weird.
I have a real hard time actually. I feel like this falls outside of our categories.
Yeah,
because It wasn't actually a good movie in any way.
No, that's
true. I wouldn't say it's a bad movie because it moved along at like a good clip. It was confident.
It wasn't a horrendous movie.
It was easier to watch than so much that we watch. But it was not bad in any funny way either. Like,
was it
feel
like the Bratz movie or something?
Yeah.
I never would have guessed that the Bratz movie would be our gold standard.
Or I Know Who Killed Me.
I mean, I feel like I had fun watching it, but only because I was with you guys. So,
yeah.
Well,
I
rate
that.
Wait.
Let's put it into this kind of context. You go see this movie with your girl, right, guys? You know what I'm talking about.
Your best girl?
Yeah, you have to take
the one
you take your steady squeeze. So you take your squeeze out to a movie, and you're gonna watch a movie. What do you think? Is 27 Dresses one you put your little Walkman earbuds in and listen to the game on? Or do you actually watch the...
Said by a man who doesn't watch sports, I guess.
Or has used technology in the last 10 years.
You know, listen to the latest sporting
event.
Your
transistor radio.
Yeah, your
listen
ham
to the
radio.
Brooklyn Dodgers. Sure. Play the Hoboken Zephyrs.
Well, I think this movie came out in February, maybe. But only because there'd be nothing else in the theater.
Oh, okay.
This is what, if I went with my girlfriend, then I would not, I wouldn't be my first choice, but I wouldn't be like, oh, painful. It wasn't like when my mom once showed me Bridget Jones' Diary, which I found abominable.
Yeah, I had to go see How Stella Got Her Groove Back in the theater.
Wait, you're putting this above Bridget Jones' Diary?
Oh, certainly. That was that was horrifying.
I don't know.
That was like, this was like pleasantly fake, and that was
Had like Hugh Grant and Colin Firth in it, two fine comic actors.
Yeah, they both made bad movies before.
All right.
Oh, but I did go on two movie dates with my girlfriend this weekend, and we saw Quantum of Solace and Frost Nixon. So, you know what? I don't have
Wait,
to see
Frost Nixon's out?
No,
wait,
we saw a screen.
Wait, are you
it.
Telling me that ladies can like good movies that aren't about weddings or romance?
I guess what I'm saying is anybody can like any movie, and we shouldn't judge people by their
Surely
gender.
Surely not.
No, well, yes. That's the secret surprise message of this episode of The Flophouse.
What the
Go
fuck?
Forth.
And this is coming from a guy who...
Whoa, did you just tell me to spread it?
Yeah, that's so
what
weird.
What the fuck, dude?
This
We're
is a very
here, dude.
Is a very surprise ending of Flophouse if it ends in an anal rape, I guess.
I didn't say
Jesus
I didn't
Christ.
Say spread them.
Elliot, help me out here.
Listen, I don't want to be involved.
Well, fucking stop him at least.
Dan, I'm very surprised. Or even that's not even get him, but spread him.
He didn't say.
He said spread it.
He said spread, which is worse.
Spread it.
Oh my god, dude.
That's,
Jesus.
That's horrific.
Oh, man.
Well, forget
the
what
word.
I was going to say.
Spread the word.
There goes my morals. There goes my moral for the episode.
I feel like I'm going to throw up. Oh god, I got to take a shower.
Anyway, but the same way that, you know, guys can like musicals too. There's no hard and fast rule here. Gay guys especially.
So yeah, I think we all
Jesus,
agree.
What was all the homophobia?
But me
first,
also.
So I think we're all in agreement this was a great movie. So moving on.
Man, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if it's because you're here or because 88 Minutes was was depressing, but this is so much more fun than when we watched 88 Minutes.
Yeah. So, hey, we're going to talk about movies we saw recently you want to recommend, right?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Okay, guys. The movie I'd like to recommend stars a certain creature of the night, and it's going to be coming your way soon. It's called Twilight. And let me tell you right now.
You're recommending a movie you haven't seen.
I haven't seen, but I saw the trailers. And let me tell you, those vampires are hot.
They're all underage.
The dudes. Those dudes aren't under. Oh my god, they are.
I believe so.
Oh Jesus.
I think they're all like 16, 17.
Oh my god. Okay, well, then
we're going to have to revise all your gay vampire fantasies.
Can I recommend something else then?
Sure.
Please.
Okay. Then I'll recommend a different vampire movie. It's called Let the Right One In. Mm. It's Swedish, I think.
I want to see that.
I saw it about a week ago, and it is totally awesome, aside from a couple weird CGI bits. But it's basically about a lonely little kid who is bullied and befriends this strange girl that just moved in next door to him who happens to be a vampire. And
spoiler alert.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, she's got blood on her face on the poster, dude. I mean,
maybe she fell down.
Yep, maybe I punched her in the face. It happens. But yeah, it's totally awesome. If you like awesome horror movies, or like, if you like vampire
or
movies at
that
all,
are awesome.
If you like vampire movies that basically are good and are somewhat character driven, yeah, it was really good. Totally good. Awesome movie.
I want to recommend, and this is very appropriate to the theme of the night, Rachel getting married. It's
why? I don't get it, man.
It's about a wedding.
Oh, right.
You know, everything that
Are
I've
you
said.
Are you tearing up thinking about Rachel getting married?
I might be a little bit, man. That movie, it made me cry. Everything that I've said tonight notwithstanding, I'm a fan of weddings. I love going to weddings, and what this movie accomplishes, and, you know, all the critics have said this, but what this movie accomplishes is make you feel like you've been to this wedding and, you know, you're introduced to these characters, not as characters in a movie, but as you would naturally sort of get to know people that you don't know over the course of an event like that. And it's beautiful, and it's a great Jonathan Demme movie. I like Jonathan Demme most of the time, and this is certainly one of his best movies. And it stars your buddy, Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, my buddy. Who I don't even know that well.
Well, but you know her better than We know her.
I guess so.
Hey, tell her.
Elliot went to school with Anne.
She
Hathaway.
Was. She came. She went to the same high school as me. She was a year behind me. My mom and her parents are friendly, but
yeah.
I never really knew her that well.
It's exciting.
Hey, tell her what's up.
I think she's on the show this week, actually.
Our show?
Are you gonna?
No, on the Daily Show.
Oh, shit.
Not on the Flophouse.
Are you gonna say? Well, do you know her well enough to say hi? You...
No, I don't think so.
She's not gonna recognize you if you say hi to her.
I don't think she would,
you
and I would have nothing to say to her.
Sign.
Like I don't. Yeah, I'll get my yearbook signed by the yearbook I didn't buy because I hated high school.
Oh man!
Like somehow you forgot to sign this, Ms. Hathaway.
I have a spot set out for you right there. eBay customer.
If you could subtly insinuate that we were involved somehow while we were in school,
and also wait, let me.
That would be, but
it's weird to make the kind of jokes that I was making about Katherine Heigl or and her, you know, and like you were, you know. We were making boob jokes before the recording because we're dudes, whatever.
She's got really nice boobs.
They are what we are.
It is weird for me to make those kinds of jokes about Annie Hathaway because just of knowing
your BFFs.
Her family.
All right, well,
my family. No, not BFFs. I make jokes about my friends' boobs all the time. You know, whatever.
Oh, so you're like just BFF.
I don't think B
don't
goes
know.
Into it.
I've avoided bringing this up before, but since it came up organically. Now, we've had a discussion before about how, like, you know, Anne Hathaway has been topless in a couple of her roles, and you were saying how, like, you're like, oh, I feel like I need to look away during those scenes because you've known her
madness
semi-personally.
Kind.
In
well,
life.
It's just kind of like having seen her, because I have not seen her in person since high school. So it's like I think of her as someone I see in the halls in high school.
Right. Now, here's what
course,
I have to say.
Of course,
say
when
about
I was a
that.
High school student, there was almost no girl. That I walked by that I didn't want to see.
Right.
You know,
well, here's the thing. Here's what I want to say about that. Very gentlemanly of you. However, it blows my mind because, like, if I went to high school with a woman who was then topless in a movie, I would want to see that movie all the more. I want to see her naked all the more. People I didn't even care about seeing naked in high school, I would want to see naked in a movie just out of curiosity.
Isn't that
like
the
guys even.
New,
like guys I knew
yeah.
in high school, like, be like, oh, well, that's what's going on there. Okay, fine.
Oh, that's what his tackle looks
yeah,
like.
Isn't that the premise of the new Kevin Smith movie, actually?
I guess
that
so.
It's the reason they're making the pornographic movie is because they figured that people they went to high school with would buy it. Cause,
oh, that aspect of it, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
They must have gone to a big high school if they hope to make some movie, some money back from that.
You just slipped that in there. Like, I was trying to avoid admitting that I saw this movie. That neither of us would have made fun of you for
seeing. It's a movie that came out.
But also, in passing, I want to say also, now that Obama's president, I saw...
President-elect.
New End in... yeah. I saw No End in Sight, the Iraq War documentary. You know, just to look back on the mistakes of recent history. And... if you want to see a movie that makes you feel sad and angry and scared, if those are emotions that you enjoy,
27 Dresses.
I would recommend 27 Dresses.
Imagine the guy in Catherine the video Hyde. Store who's got 27 dresses in one hand and 28 days later in the other hand. It's like, 28's more than 27, so do I have to see 27 Dresses first or...
Elliot, what do you have to recommend?
I don't remember if in the past I've recommended the movie The Fall or not. I think I might have, but I saw that again recently, and I think it's really great.
Legends of the Fall?
No, not Legends of the Fall. The Fall
Wait,
is a...
Wait, Tarsim Sings
yeah,
the Fall?
Yeah, Tarsim Sings the Fall.
The guy who directed The Cell?
Directed The Cell.
The most terrible movie?
Which is a terrible movie, but this is like... This is... You can tell watching it that this is the movie kind of... And I just was just reading about it today. That basically, he made a good amount of money making commercials, and he decided, well, this is the movie I'm going to spend this money on. And so he spent... his own money and several years of his life, you know, in his spare time making this very beautiful to look at movie that I find very touching also. But when it came out, the reviews were very mixed. It was like, there's a lot of pretty pictures, but the story never really comes together. But it comes together very well for me. So I'd recommend that one if you haven't seen it, which you probably haven't because it was not released very much. And otherwise, I saw Frost Nixon recently, and that was pretty good too. You know, The Fall was a movie that, like, I'm crying at the end of. Frost Nixon was a movie I was like, that was a good movie. But that's coming as into a theater near you.
Wow.
I went to see, I will say, this is my business dropping section of the podcast, is I went to see that at a WGA screener where Ron Howard, one of the producers, were doing a discussion afterwards, and John Waters was in the audience sitting not too far away from where I was. And during the question and answer session, John Waters asked the most perfectly John Waters question when he goes, now you had Pat McCormick from the Bad Seed playing Richard Nixon's wife, Pat Nixon. Was that a nice on purpose a cameo there? And Ron Howard's like, no, that was a coincidence. But I just love that John Waters is watching the movie and probably recognizes the woman playing Nixon, Mrs. Nixon, and then sees in the credits that it's the woman who, you know, 50 years ago played the little girl in The Bad Seed and made the connection in his head. And it was like, oh, John Waters, you're a treasure. Never change. I'm not a huge fan of Ron Howard as a director, but I thought he did a pretty good job in Frost Nixon.
Wait a minute. He did A Beautiful Mind.
He did A Beautiful Mind, which I hate.
That movie was quacktastic.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, I think that's the worst. I would say it's the worst Best Picture winner of the last 10 years, but I think Crash edges it out.
And even, yeah, I guess so.
Gladiator's
not a great movie. Chicago's not a great movie. They're not terrible movies, but like Beautiful Mind is a bad movie.
But Beautiful Mind is, or no, I don't enjoy Gladiator. I enjoy Chicago.
Chicago I enjoyed, but it was like, it was so disposable.
You love Bridget Jones' Diary is what we've come to terms with.
Anything with Renee Zellweger, you love. That.
Cold Mountain.
You love.
Come on.
I can't even think of any. Jerry Maguire, you love. I'm having trouble thinking of Renee Zellweger movies. Appaloosa, was she in that?
I don't know.
Let's say she was.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
The Next Generation.
Oh my God, that movie is the worst movie ever.
With Matthew McConaughey. Also.
I know, I want to kill myself. I almost killed myself watching that movie. It was so bad. I like bad movies.
And I like them.
I like them, and this one was really bad.
It's been a while since I've done this sort of thing on the show, but I want to say thank you to everyone who keeps going to podcastalley.com and voting for our show. We get, three or four votes a month steadily, which is great. And we're always ranked, within the top 50 of comedy podcasts.
Get us to number one.
Well, that's what I am declaring in November that this is the Flophouse Pledge Drive. You don't have to pay any money.
Yes, you do.
It's not like a PBS Pledge Drive.
Oh, okay.
But if you want a copy of Caesar's Writers on VHS,
you
will pay us
money. Flophouse tote bag. You will have to give us money. But this is a pledge drive for listeners, because you know what? Elliot's fancy television job aside.
Yeah.
This is a rinky dink organization. We don't have a publicist, we don't have any advertising. All we have is listeners like you. So
you're the real backbone of this project.
So I would urge you to go
with the heart
to Podcast Alley, vote for us, juke the stats. Don't vote multiple times. Don't juke them that much.
We should print up posters with our faces that says "Juke the Stats!" Exclamation point. They can
I don't even know what that means.
They can put them up in elementary schools
next
to the soda
fan
machine.
You don't even know. You don't know what "Juke the Stats."
Oh, I didn't know that was a real.
Anyway, I'd like to thank all of the people who link to us from their personal websites. We actually get a lot of traffic through links like that. If you're willing to put up a link for us, please do so. If you contact us, we could put up a reciprocal link on our website. Do whatever. And I'm saying this, if anyone can prove somehow that they've brought in a lot of new listeners, I don't know, maybe there's something in it for them. I don't know what it is.
We can start a new Flophouse contest.
Yeah.
Since the last one, the prize was technically never claimed. We still have the Uva Bowl prize. I meant the flop it up with the floppers, whatever that contest was called.
That's true.
Yeah, I'd still do that, man.
Get us some listeners. And if you want to write in, as always, the email is theflophousepodcast@gmail.com. Website, theflophousepodcast.blogspot.com. And that's all I want to say business-wise. I've sucked the air out of the room with that.
I'm just touched by the sincerity of that thanks and plea for more assistance.
I think making a joke right now would be unbecoming of me.
Be kind of crass.
Yeah.
But would it be unbecoming of your mustache?
No. My mustache wants to make a comment about boobs again. I'll keep it down, though. I got it under control.
Yeah. That's it. That's the movie you got to make. It's called Lustache. And you're like a very prim guy, but you grow a mustache and the mustache is really horny. So you end up getting into sexy situations with mishaps and misunderstandings because of your mustache.
That is an awesome movie.
And it's called Lustache.
It's like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde situation.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Mustache?
Mustache like just Lustache wants to tickle better. Ladies in special places.
Yeah, sure. What Dan just said.
Exactly, yeah.
It'd be kind of like Good Luck Chuck, but awesomer.
But instead of seeing Dane Cook in hardcore porn situations, it'd be Stuart Wellington in hardcore porn situations.
I don't know if there'd have to be hardcore porn situations. I mean, come on. This is PG-13, maybe.
Oh, it's a PG-13 movie with lust in the title. Okay, well, sure.
This is a this is one of the disappointing USA Up All Nights.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you mean all of them?
Well, sure. They've all been edited for content. However, when I was a middle schooler,
oh no, certainly
I was excited whenever a bikini car wash.
Listen, I was excited just to see Rhonda Shear in the framing segment.
Sure,
I mean at the
Gilbert Godfrey, not so much.
I think some of the key like scene instead of hardcore sex, there'd be like like a shot of a chick taking her top off and like a boing sound effect,
and the mustache and then, like, hairs go
yeah, and
like
yeah,
flip
my,
up.
My hair would be shot up in the air like yeah, that'd be awesome.
Eventually, the climax involves the mustache, I guess, trying to tear itself off of your face to get at a woman.
Yeah.
Like you chain yourself to a bed or something like that to make sure that the mustache can't get you into any more trouble.
Like at the end of 40 Days and 40 Nights.
I haven't seen that.
Where he ties himself to a bed and then gets raped by a girl.
That's
it's a comedy.
It's another come down.
It's supposed to be a comedy.
It's a horrible.
I feel like
throw that movie away. Buy it and throw it away.
For the person who's listening to this while holding a copy of 40 Days and 40 Nights, throw it away.
Unfortunately, I feel like we've just written like a trauma film, you know?
What do you mean, unfortunately?
Well, trauma, you know, that's a studio where I always feel like I should enjoy the movies. I'm like, I'm glad that they exist. I'm glad that company exists, but then I watch one of the movies, I'm like, yeah, all right.
This will be trauma done right.
It's kind of like Kevin Smith movies for me. Like, I'm glad he's making movies, but I'm always underwhelmed.
Yeah. I like him more as a personality than I do as a director.
Yeah.
I like him more as the bald, bearded guy at the end of Southland Tales than anything else.
Fucking dick. Nobody else saw that movie.
Oh, you had I saw that movie
we all did.
Because I knew nobody else would see it, and I needed proof that it existed. I needed my memories.
And all we have is our memories. On that note, thanks for listening to the Flophouse Dudes. My name's Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
I'm Elliot Kalin.
Good night.
Southland Tales, huh? What the fuck?
I thought you were going to say that Alabama Jones and the Busty Crusade was on.
Or the Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure.
Great, they haven't shown that movie in years.
I know, but so...
At least Dan's was current. Dan, you raised a good question, though. Why didn't they continue the Alabama Jones series?
Well, they started out with the last one. They didn't spoof...
they should have started with Raiders of the Lost Boobs or something like that.
Raiders of the... Panty Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, that Raiders of the Lost Bust. It has to have bust or boob or something in there.
Yeah.
Because that's their whole thing.
Let's start the fucking...
Boobers of the Lost Bust.
Boobers. Alabama boobs and the
boobs.
And the boob patrol.
Alabama breasts and the boobers of the Lost Bust.
Okay. That's...
There's like the reality show I want to pitch to Fox, World's Most Unexpected Boobs. Situations where people didn't expect there to be boobs.
I think that's every like European prank show.
Yeah.
Can I